Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The mayor of Tacoma, Washington, has apologized to the family of Manny Ellis, a black man who died in police custody in 2020.
The hole that cannot and will not be filled. And the waves of grief have impacted our entire community.
A jury today cleared three police officers who had been charged with tasing, choking, beating, and restraining Ellis, despite his repeated claims that he couldn't breathe. The White House says serious scrutiny is needed for the planned acquisition of U.S. Steel by Japan's Nippon Steel. The Steelworkers Union and others have flagged a number of concerns, including a possible threat to national security. The UN says conditions in Gaza have deteriorated since Israel's bombardment and siege in response to the October 7th Hamas attack, that a quarter of the population is starving. This is ABC News. A lawsuit filed by clowns against some other clowns.
For clowns filing a lawsuit sounds like it could be the start of a bad joke, but it's reality in New York, where the group of four plaintiffs says Clowns.com misclassified their status as independent contractors, and by doing so, deprived them of hourly pay and overtime when they worked children's birthday parties and other events. There are four plaintiffs on the lawsuit now, but their attorney is seeking to add others to make this a class action.
That's ABC's Brian Clark. A federal judge in Alabama has heard arguments for and against execution using nitrogen gas as he weighs whether to let the state attempt the nation's first use of that method next month. A century-old rule in Major League Baseball is changing. The league is widening the runner's lane approaching first base to include a portion of fair territory. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Expect lawmakers to audit diversity practices throughout Wisconsin state government next year after the recent deal with the Universities of Wisconsin. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says opportunity should be colorblind.
That's what I think America should be all about. Hard work equals
success. And DEI does not get people there. Is
not
that
in my
saying?
Mind, and that's what I'm trying to get at.
Voss on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network said the state made bipartisan gains on shared revenue, the Brewer's Bill, and new literacy guidelines in 2023. Xcel Energy customers can expect to pay more next year. A rate increase will raise the typical monthly electric bill by about a dollar and natural gas bills by about $3. Xcel Energy says the increase will pay for future renewable energy projects. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks host the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Orlando Magic tonight at Fiserv Forum. Although the Bucks have won five games in a row, Bobby Portis was asked what could the team work on to improve tonight.
I think start with defense, trying to just build it. Obviously, it's a new system for us. We're trying to do a lot of new things and have different reads and different coverages. for the long haul.
NFL, the Green Bay Packers are playing the Carolina Panthers at noon Sunday, Christmas Eve. With just three games left in the season, could they still make the playoffs? I asked Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, we got to win. We got three opportunities to go out there and get a win. The goal right now is to get to 9-8 and then obviously let the playoffs kind of play themselves out and see if we can get a shot in there. But obviously bouncing back after two tough losses, you know, we just got to find a way to go win these last three.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Staying rather warm the next couple of days. Cloudy, little fog and drizzle tonight. Lows in the low 30s. Some early drizzle tomorrow. Staying cloudy. High low 40s. Some bits of sunshine on Saturday. Highs up to the upper 40s. Some rain and low 50s for Sunday. Currently it's 37.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
612-373-3333.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Fog and drizzle conditions overnight with a low of 37, then a chance of drizzle and fog on Friday with a high of 45.
Get the appliances you've been dreaming of for less at Warner Stallion's year-end clearance. Shop closeouts, scratch and dent, and floor models. Plus, buy more to save more. Take 10% off two red tags and 15% off three at Warner Stallion's year-end clearance.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, I like to be right once a day, and Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Oh, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon, supporting honest Native news, stories, and events from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Yes, thank you for all the support over the years, everybody. It really helped us through when we had COVID and our advertisers were, on lockdown with us. So I just want to tell everyone I do remember those days, and I really appreciate your support back then as I do now. Hey, we're with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, and he's a citizen of White Earth. We don't talk a lot about his citizenship, but he's a citizen there. And also, Robert's been a glass floor breaker over the years, a city council member. You're in like 20 groups right now, and a lot of important groups and representative of our Native people. And thank you so much, as always, for being on.
Yeah, Miigwech, it's bonjour, Haley, bonjour, Robert. So good to be here. Yeah, I'm a citizen of White Earth. I'm a third generation Minneapolis urban Indian, and I have what one journalist, one reporter once called my 17 titles. She said, "Which of your 17 titles do you want me to use?" So I like to be involved.
Yeah, and you do a great job in the community, and I know
very kind.
You really helped out with a past, which you do and have been doing for years, helping. You helped me, as a matter of fact, with my candidacy for Ho-Chunk Nation legislator, but you also just helped out recently with one of your area's candidates. So you're a doer.
Yeah. A new Minneapolis City Council member. And since, you know, I used to be in elected office, some folks know that, I served on the Minneapolis City Council, first tribal citizen to do so for 12 years. I got elected in 2001. And when I first started running, I was kind of running against the system, and people who knew about campaigning and knew what to do were really hesitant to help me. So I made the decision, the determination then, I'm going to help people. As I learn something, I'm going to pass it on to others. And even if I don't think I'm going to support you at the end of the day, if you want to meet with me and ask me some questions, I'll meet with you. And it's just really rewarding to see some of the folks I've worked with along the way and what they're doing today, including our Lieutenant Governor, my wider sister, Peggy Flanagan, on her first campaign. But yeah, I just helped, worked on a campaign of a very young an incredibly brilliant candidate named Katie Cashman, who just got elected to the city council. So she'll take office in January.
Yeah, that's totally exciting. Hey, we're going to see the governor and lieutenant governor tomorrow. Wendy, Haley, and I, there's a press party that we were invited to. And so we'll be wearing bells on. And it's, you know, I feel like, you know, when it comes to Native Roots Radio, we have these great contacts like Heather Keeler, State Senator Mary Kunish, people like yourself that have been on the show, and of course the Lieutenant Governor. But I think it really helps our credibility here at Native Roots Radio with you being on and being friends with the Lieutenant Governor and, of course, with the State Senator, and we have the Governor of Wisconsin that comes on. And it's just been really fun to see how exciting this show has opened up over the years, and I think you're a big part of it, Robert.
You are so very kind. I think you're giving me way too much credit, Robert, but I'll take some of it anyway. But just to really turn it back on you and Robert and on Haley and those who came before Haley and what you've done to build the show up and to build its credibility. I used to be on when it was a two-hour pre-recorded show on the weekends, right?
Yeah.
Now it's like there just aren't a lot of Native news platforms like this, you know, and so I think it's just you have a niche and it's an important one, and I'm very grateful for your willingness to kind of fill it. I'm a little bit jealous about this press event with the governor and lieutenant governor, but I know you'll have a great time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and one of the reasons too why I bring it up too is in my mind, you know, it's really fun because the governor, lieutenant governor's journey was kind of parallel with ours. So they were on the show a lot, especially the first time when they were running. And, you know, I always joke with Haley when I bring this up, but, you know, the lieutenant or the governor knows my name. And Haley's like, wow, that was impressive. But I'm wondering, and I guess why I bring this up too, is I'm wondering if, are we seeing Lieutenant Governor maybe someday being Senator Flanagan? I mean, I think about that and I kid with her, but, you know, she's got a lot of work going on now and really can't think too much about that.
Right. We shall see, right? It's up to her and what her path, you know, what her journey is and her vision. But she is clearly a dynamic leader, deeply connected to people, to our community for sure, but just to people. Mm-hmm. In general, and I remember this would have been back in, 2004, working on her school board campaign.
Right.
That was the first office that she ran for and was successful. And I was so impressed with her. And I remember thinking, wow, she could be governor someday. And then I thought, well, heck, she could be president someday. Why put a cap on it? So whatever she does, our lieutenant governor and wider sister Peggy Flanagan is going places.
Absolutely. This is not the end of it. And I love how our governor and lieutenant governor remind me of Obama and Biden, where, you know, Biden was involved in a lot of the decisions, and so is our lieutenant governor.
Yeah, I remember they announced their campaign, their first campaign at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. That's where they kicked it off.
Yeah.
Right in the heart of the American Indian Cultural Corridor and the community. And, you know, and I care deeply about Peggy Flanagan. I call her my little sister. She calls me her brother. And I didn't know what a lieutenant governor spot might do for her politically. And I remember thinking, I want to hear them talk about a co-governing model in their opening remarks. And I thought of that several times. I thought, if I don't hear that, I'm going to reach out to Peggy and say, you know, you need a position within government, you know, the government. And sure enough, three times they said co-governing, we will be co-governing. And in Minnesota, which is kind of a purpley kind of state, although all of our statewide offices are held by Democrats, but I think that Waltz and Flanagan really balance each other beautifully and kind of let everyone see some of their beliefs and positions reflected in their policy work.
Absolutely. I was there too, Robert, and I remember the governor-to-be was telling the story about basically the, what was it, the Wellstone class that Peggy was leading was his first mix with politics, and she was her he was teacher.
She was training at Wellstone Action at the time, teaching how to be a candidate, how to campaign, and Governor, now Governor Waltz was there, and then he went into his first campaign, which was for Congress, successful in a fairly red district. And then there are other two other people in that same class that Peggy taught that got elected to city council. So I served with them on my second term. They both got elected. And so not, you know, not only is she a great elected representative, but man, she can teach people how to win campaigns.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're going to take a break, Robert, and we haven't had you on in a long time, so we're going to keep you on longer. I'd like to talk a little bit and reminisce about Jamie Becker Finn a little bit, who's just released yesterday that she will not be running, which is sad to hear, because she's another one of our native doers that really have we're really proud of, and really she's a fighter, and you know, she's got small kids and things, so I don't know what you've heard, but maybe we can talk a little bit about her and her legacy.
Let's.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex, you make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
As we gear up for the holidays, let's keep our friends, relatives, and elders protected from COVID-19. Even though the emergency declaration is over, COVID-19 is still a concern, especially for those with compromised immune systems. So when you get together this holiday season, opt for outdoor gatherings if weather permits, or well-ventilated indoor spaces. And here's a tough one. If you're feeling unwell before your gathering, stay home. It may not be much fun, but it goes a long way towards keeping our cherished elders healthy. After your event, keep an eye on your health. Test if you notice symptoms. If you're traveling in crowded places like airports, put on a mask for that extra layer of protection. Let's make this holiday season the healthiest ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more tips, visit health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Very familiar with them. Very familiar with them. Hey,
I've heard of them.
Yes, you have. Hey, Haley, you know, I have a cold right now, as you can see. I came back and had COVID 3 weeks ago, then struggled, had a little cold, and now I have cold again, so I've been hiding in the house. But it's that time of year again, isn't it? Not for colds, but for support of that.
Yeah, well, today is winter solstice, so I know it is the longest night of the year. So if you're looking for something to do, get your health insurance plan together and head over to MinSure.org, where our friends will help you find the right plan that is more affordable and helps best fit your needs. MinSure.org.
Yeah, thank you, Haley. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we were leaving off in the last segment. It's always great to see Robert and talk politics. We're just talking a little about State Representative Jamie Becker-Finn announcing that she will not be running again. Kind of saddens me. And what are your thoughts? She has a heck of a legacy here, and I know she's been a fighter for many, many years and a great friend with the lieutenant governor.
Yeah, it is sad to hear, but I really need to respect people's decisions, right? So she will have been a four-term House of Representative at two-year terms. Thank you for your service, Chi McGuach, Representative Becker-Finn. It's not an easy thing to do. And you're right, she has an incredible legacy for you know, a relatively short time in office. She's one of our Native sisters. She's a founder of the the POSI Caucus, People of Color and Indigenous Peoples Caucus. She's a co-founder of the Queer Caucus. Mm-hmm. You know, she really drove into leadership, which I think is important for these younger, newer kinds of representatives. I'm not a big advocate of sit and wait your turn, right?
Yeah.
If you have something to do and you think you can lead in a direction, you know, kind of lead. And Jamie did just that, man. I mean, she did a lot of justice related work, you know, inside the justice system, like seeing that public defenders are paid, you know, in a decent wage and things like that. She changed the system.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, maybe more than a few years ago, that there was a representative from Bloomington, Minnesota that was really giving her a hard time about some stuff, and just hearing her smart response, and I don't mean combative, but just intelligent mm-hmm. response to really some negative, unbelievable and untrue things that were directed towards her. I just went, wow, this person's on it, you know, and understands how to respond in a good way.
Right. And, you know, that is such a good observation, Robert. And in the legislating business and in politics, especially today, it's so oppositional, confrontational, violent, you know, even violent. And I think smart legislators, successful legislators, and elected officials acknowledge what you just said. You can't behave like this is your last conversation with someone. Right. You know, you have to address things that you disagree with in a measured and smart and informed way. But early on in my elected life, I learned this lesson from a more experienced politician. And she taught me, there's never a last act. Mm-hmm. She said, there's never a last act. You can't behave like that's the end of something. Now, who knows, maybe since it is the end of her elected life, she may behave a little differently, but I think she's just done an admirable job of being a true statesperson.
Well, and I can't imagine, her kids are still young and still being, you know, a mother, a politician, a business owner, you know, and I do believe she's a lawyer too, right?
Oh, that I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember, but she owns that coffee shop and she has young kids, and it's just... it's, you know, and how much do we ask for our politicians? 8 years is a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time. And, you know, she is a lawyer, or at least she has a JD from William Mitchell College of Law. So, yeah.
Our hat's off to her, really. And maybe we'll get her on the show more often now that she's not. But we always find more things to do, right, Robert, when we're out of the
she's office. Right. She's gonna bump me. Now you'll have some of the deeper political analysis.
No.
So, But oh. She's just a delight. You know, she's a nice person. Mm-hmm. And I just really appreciate when politicians are just nice people.
Well, let's spin it now a little bit here to national. And I know we like to talk a little bit about that. And you're our go-to person to talk about this. We have Colorado stepping up and really doing something pretty magical, I think.
Yeah, we'll see where this goes. So they have declared their Supreme Court in Colorado has declared that Trump is not eligible to appear on ballots in their state in 2024 due to his role in promoting insurrection. And that's constitutional, right? That's a constitutional reason to keep someone off the ballot. And so a similar case was brought here in Minnesota, did not prevail. But there are other cases like this poised to be brought forward in a lot of states. And so we'll see. And you know, there's all these dire predictions that this is going to cause violent civil war. And you know, it's right. not going to be the progressives and the Democrats that are promoting violent civil war. Right. We're just trying to protect other institutions that have been so grossly attacked.
Well, I'm going to put my aluminum hat on, Robert, which I don't do very often. And I got to wonder, people that take Supreme Court judges on boat trips and borrow them money, I don't think it's good for business for them to have a civil war. You're not going to be able to sell your goods and services, and maybe they'll talk some sense and, you know, I'll take my aluminum hat off. Any comment on that?
Well, fingers crossed, Robert. I mean, it would be great. You're exactly right. You know, the chaos of war is not good for commerce. You know, it's good for certain sectors of the economy. Right. But in going back to your somewhat oblique comment about Justice Thomas, Clarence Thomas, and what he's accepted, and there's all this new information coming out about that as well, that in the, I think it was, what, the year 2000, he started being very critical about his low pay rate. And that's when all of a sudden all these people who are invested in the status quo started to support him financially. And it's just a travesty. I want my Supreme Court judges, you know, living off their salaries and not having to be provided by billionaires to provide all the luxury goods.
I'll put my aluminum hat back on again, and it's like they paid him more. They paid him more and helped him out because they didn't want him to resign because he was broke or going bankrupt. And right. I'll take it off.
And he was a reliable. And he was a reliable vote for the status quo. I mean, that's just a fact. That isn't even sort of conspiracy stuff. You know, he was their reliable vote for them, and they wanted to keep him in place. And so they corrupted him, or he allowed himself to be corrupted. And now he really can't dispense justice. Most of that court can't dispense justice for the majority of this country.
Exactly. I want to talk a little bit about Biden and his age. And I only personally want to bring up the fact that as a leader like that, Biden isn't doing 5,000 things each day. He has a committee. He has people working for him. He's leading the country, but he's got what was different night and day between Trump and his people was he brought in people that knew what they were doing and things got better quick. You know, the COVID was going crazy still and we're getting all the vaccines out to people and everyone was talking how bad the economy was going to be. And really, the economy has been bad because of the gouging with these big corporations. I'm going to vote for Biden again because he's got a great bunch of people working for him.
Right. I mean, if he's on the ticket, I'm voting for him. I fully expect him to be there. Mm-hmm. And you touched on the economy, and by all these indicators, the economy is so strong, you know, unemployment, gas prices, stock market, you know, it feels very pinched for middle-class people and lower-wealth people. So it doesn't feel like the greatest economy, but really by all the indicators, it's doing incredible. And you're right, he's the executive, right? He's where the buck stops. He's the one that at the end of the day, is accountable for what his administration does, but it is. It's a whole administration that you're really voting for. It's not just one person.
Yeah, so I want to bring that up too, especially with our progressive friends. I'm really progressive. I'm a Bernie guy all the way still. But you know, in order to move people, like if you vote for somebody that's Democrat and you're more
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports, the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The mayor of Tacoma, Washington, has apologized to the family of Manny Ellis, a black man who died in police custody in 2020.
It's a hole that cannot and will not be filled. And the waves of grief have impacted our entire community.
A jury today cleared three police officers who had been charged with tasing, choking, beating, and restraining Ellis, despite his repeated claims that he couldn't breathe. The White House says serious scrutiny is needed for the planned acquisition of U.S. steel by Japan's Nippon Steel. The Steelworkers Union and others have flagged a number of concerns, including a possible threat to national security. The UN says conditions in Gaza have deteriorated since Israel's bombardment and siege in response to the October 7th Hamas attack, that a quarter of the population is starving. This is ABC News.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is rejecting a complaint against fake presidential electors for a second time. Wednesday's vote was 5-0, with Commissioner Bob Spindell not voting. He's one of 10 Republicans who settled a lawsuit last week for their role in perpetrating the fraud. Holiday travelers with heart conditions should make a list and check it twice, says cardiologist Dr. Kim Perry.
Make sure your medications are clearly labeled, including dosages and pharmacy information, and you have enough for your entire trip. Take more just in case.
Perry recommends people who've had a heart attack or stroke within the past 6 months to clear any travel with both their primary and cardiac doctors. AAA predicts a record 7.5 million Americans will fly over the next 2 weeks. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Almost Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power. Our veterans.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For tonight, we'll see areas of drizzle and freezing drizzle. Temperatures tumbling into the lower 30s. Southeast winds a bit gusty. Drizzle and freezing drizzle, then all drizzle, fog and clouds. Highs of the afternoon climbing to the lower 40s. Right now it's 37.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
And COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Fog and drizzle conditions overnight with a low of 37, then a chance of drizzle and fog on Friday with a high of 45.
Get the appliances you've been dreaming of for less at Warner Stallion's year-end clearance. Shop closeouts, scratch and dent, and floor models. Plus, buy more to save more. Take 10% off 2 red tags and 15% off 3 at Warner Stallion's year-end clearance.
to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great supporters of Native Roots Radio over the years, and we've had them on, and they're all over the country, all over Turtle Island, giving out knowledge about our relatives, so we really appreciate them. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, CEO, and I'm going to blame it on the cold. I messed it up twice now, Robert, and I know we're not keeping track, but I had a little hiccup there, you know, but welcome.
Oh,
welcome.
I'm keeping track, Robert. I am keeping track.
Yeah, dang. So what do we got going down on the avenue? I drove by the Indian Center, and when is that due? That place is looking beautiful, and it's right up against the sidewalk now, so I can't sneak into the front there and park on the illegally.
No, it's looking great. So the target date for the grand reopening is May 1st. As folks in Minnesota know, May is American Indian Month in our state. It was a big American Indian Movement effort back in the 70s to get that recognized. Started as a week, now it's a month. And Mary Lagarde, the brilliant director who has shepherded this incredible capital investment through, is gearing up to open it up on May 1st. So we usually march through the community on May 1st for Indian Month kickoff, and then end up there for a real a blessing and opening and a feast. And it'll be wonderful. And you're right, it's beautiful. And we've had an Indian center there for decades. Yeah. And since the 70s. And it was just such a nondescript building in the past. And like, you couldn't even really figure out how to, if you hadn't been there before, people could never figure out how to even get in. You know, and enter from the side. And it used to be owned by the city of Minneapolis. And during my time on the city council, we sold it to the Indian Center for a dollar. Wow. To be self-owned. And it's needed, this investment, but it's about 13 million dollars. But no, I can't be right. It was like
seven or something. Maybe
No, it's way more than that. I shouldn't be saying numbers that I don't know. I wasn't prepared for that. But I will say I'm on the Capital Campaign Committee for the Indian Center, and I was on it back in the early 2000s as well, and during my time on City Council. And it was a really heavy lift back in the early 2000s. There was a sense that the Indian Center was losing its relevance in the 21st century, and you know, there were some other concerns about just about succession and things. And funders are really savvy about stuff like that, and they just weren't giving. And I think we ended up at the time we're trying to raise $13 million. And I think we raised about $3 million, and so it had to really scale back the project. But man, leadership at the Indian Center has gone through, you know, some generational change, and they've done some incredible strategic work, and this has been a much more satisfying capital campaign committee to serve on than it was 20 years ago.
Wow. We're going to have a theater in there, a bigger store, a restaurant, things. It's just going to be a place to go and go down to the coffee shop and walk down to the Indian Center and hang out and do some shopping. Yeah.
No, exactly right. And as you pointed out in your first comments, you know, it's bringing the activity right up to Franklin Avenue, to the American Indian Cultural Corridor, rather than almost having it hidden. You know, so those public activities, art gallery, restaurant, those will be right on Franklin. And so it brings those eyes onto the street and just, you know, really activates the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
Yeah, so have you been in there since they've worked on it? I know some people have gotten tours. I know I didn't get my
invite. Yeah. Well, as a Capital Campaign Committee member, you know, I get the privilege of being parts of tours for potential donors and things. So it was a couple weeks ago, but the whole Franklin Avenue facade was done, that sort of drum. It's literally a drum-shaped atrium. That was, you know, you could get in that. You look down Bloomington, it just, it looks like a real big city, you know. It's so different than it was. And the renovated and expanded program space, you know, that gym is one of the most used public spaces in the corridor.
Yeah,
it's pretty much where everything happens, and it feels so good.
Yeah, and you can't wait to have those Thanksgiving powwows, New Year's Eve powwows, and all the other powwows and things that happen in that gym. So it's not far from my house, and it's not far from a lot of people's house, even though I have to get to that, go to that scary city, Minneapolis, you know, from St. Paul.
Yeah, it's just a few blocks. I live on Franklin, so it's just a few blocks, really, away. So, and, you know, and I just really want to make sure. I think it was $33 million. That was the final budget, but just a ton of credit to Mary Lagarde and to others. And the whole staff of the Indian Center, you know, they've been housed in all kinds of different buildings. The programs have been sort of scattered around, but they've kept it going. And, so it'll be exciting when it reopens.
So what else is going on down there on the Franklin Avenue? Well,
the other thing we may want to talk about, or I wanted to, and I don't know what, but is this, just because it doesn't happen very often, and it definitely sort of reflects Native involvement, but we have a new state flag in Minnesota, and we have a new state seal here. And both of them have definite Native influences. There were Native people on the commission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the commission was created by the legislature just last session and given this incredibly short timeline to work, to have this new state flag and new state seal approved by the end of the year. And by gum, they did it, you know.
Yeah.
And there's such a range of feelings about them, but I say that they look pretty good, you know, and the state seal even has Dakota language on it.
And wild rice.
And wild rice and a loon, right.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, our the motto, our former state seal was and state flag. They were the same, was super racist and had, you know, a pioneer with a gun. Looked like chasing off a Native person on a horse, you know.
Right.
It was really not happening. And then the slogan on the seal and flag was in French, right? L'Étoile du Nord, Star of the North, North Star.
Mm-hmm.
And now the slogan will be in Dakota.
Yeah.
Minnesota Mikoche. You know, the land where the water reflects the sky.
That is awesome. We've been talking about that all week, and it's fun. Well, first off, State Senator Mary Kunish talked about it last week that she made this bill. And then we had your friend and our friend Kate Bean on the show talking about it, wanting to get more Native input a few weeks ago. And so we've been watching this really closely. And yesterday we had Arvina Martin, who's the former first Native American woman, City Council Member in Madison, and she's on our show every week, and they worked on a flag change in the city flag, and so she loves the flag, and she was telling us yesterday how much she loved our new flag, and she's been doing a lot of research because they changed the one in Madison, so it's like, it's good to hear the experts like it.
Yeah, and a lot of experts are speaking highly of the flag, because it's super simple, right, and even that, and I don't know how direct it is, and I'm certainly no expert, but even the star that appears on the flag, it's sort of a geometric stylized shape of Minnesota, a dark blue field, and then a light blue field looks like water. Mm-hmm. And then there's a white star in the dark blue field that has a very Dakota vibe.
Yeah.
And someone, I just read an article where they pointed out that star, what is it, 8 points? Yeah. is also reflected in the Capitol Rotunda. There's a star on the floor that's 8 points like that.
Wow.
So it's just, I think we're going to like this new flag. I kind of like it.
You know, I don't really think much about the old flag other than when it's brought up in the old seal. So this is something to rally around. And, I just think it can't be any, it can't be as bad as it was. And I believe it's really been a good choice. And, And, you know, things had to be pointed out to me, like the corner was the state of Minnesota, kind of blocky, you know, things like that. And it's right. Like, oh, that's awesome. Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, and certainly an improvement over the racist former flag and seal.
Yeah, so, I think it's a flag, too, that people are going to be proud to wear. I never saw people hanging up Minnesota state flags or anything ever. And this one, I feel like we're going to see a lot more, you know, flags outside of people's houses and just a lot more of it. So I'm down with
it. Great point.
Yeah, really good point. Now I'm thinking I better get T-shirts made for the store and put a little
later. There you go. Yeah. I'd wear it.
Right on. Oh, geez. So what else do we got going on? That was a great point and love talking about that. You know, I'm really proud to be a Minnesotan and Twin Cityan and voting blue. And, you know, always conscious of our Wisconsin and Dakotas and Iowa listeners and even Michigan and Illinois that listen to the show. We got it going on here really well, and we're proud of it. I just want to say that, Robert. And I know you're a big part of it, and we try to be a part of it here on Native Roots Radio, but it's just been fun. And when you said that we used to do a pre-record, I had 8 people, guests like yourself, on the show on Saturday. And it was like, this is a great show. I wonder if anyone's listening to it because it was 2 hours. And now it's great that you're able to spend, you know, some time with us once a week and talk about what's going on, and we can have our discussions about politics, but also just sitting back and being human. And I want to wish you a happy holiday with you and your husband. And really, you know, I appreciate you being on.
Megawatch Robert, same to you. Happy holidays. Happy solstice.
Yes.
Right? My solstice joke is always the same. I say, it looks like we're in for a long night.
Good one, Robert.
Oh, wow. That's another T-shirt. Whoa. Hey, Pini Gigi, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits, so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Right on, Robert. Robert's still on, and that's great. We're waiting for Angela to come on and talk about a call for artists, but maybe we can talk a little bit about that while we're waiting.
Sure, and maybe just talk a little about Angela Two Stars as well, who is just a superstar artist. She is Dakota and came here to work as a professional artist. She came to our gallery, All My Relations Arts, That's Nacky's Gallery right there in the Cultural Corridor next to Paula Grounds Coffee Shop. Stop on down. But she came to, it was her first non-student show where she had a piece of art in a public gallery. And we were so impressed with her, and we invited her back to curate a show as a first-time curator, and we got her a more experienced Native woman curator to mentor her and coach her, and she brought the show Bring Her Home, Stolen Daughters of Turtle Island, to the gallery, and it was such a powerful show. And then when the gallery position opened up, hey, Angela, she's here. She was just such an obvious choice for that position. And she's just done amazing things here in the Twin Cities and through our gallery.
Right on. And hey, as you were saying, Robert, here is Angela. And welcome, Angela. How are you doing? Angela Two Stars, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Great.
So we were just talking about you in a good way, in a good way. And we wanted to give you the opportunity to come on and talk a little bit about what's happening at All My Relations and art. And you're the art director, so go for it, Angela.
Well, yeah, we have a lot happening right now. We currently have an exhibition that's titled Abajijuan Yukyat Yanale. And Abajijuan is Ojibwe, Yukyat Yanale is Huma, and the two artists that we're hosting is Kieran Goulet from Bemidji and Monique Verdin from Louisiana, and they have a duo exhibition around the Mississippi River that closes January 13th. We'll be having a closing reception, and we're also going to be hosting a water weaving workshop on January 6th, that's part of the exhibition with Sarah Nassif, who has loaned us her sari loom that people from the community have been invited to weave, part of this community weaving that's going to travel with the show. Our next exhibition is called Okizi. It's Dakota for to heal, and it's a collaboration with the American Swedish Institute. They have an exhibition coming in February called Arctic Highways, Unbound Indigenous People. And we've been talking with ASI for, we've been developing a relationship with them well over a year. And they were discussing this exhibition, Migration, with these two Sami artists named Stina Folkenbrandt and Tomas Kolbingston. And they were talking about how this migration artworks were looking at the relationship between the Sami and the reindeer and how the Sami would travel with the reindeer. And I thought that's very similar to Dakota people and how they had relationship with the buffalo. And so it started to spark these similarities in cultural experiences. And so as we began talking more and more, what we decided on, wanting to connect our audiences around this common theme of these dual exhibitions and the meeting of two Indigenous peoples and the healing impacts of cultural revitalization. So the call for art for Okizi will highlight the revitalization efforts that reconnect this generation and future generations to our language, our land, our culture, all as a means of healing from historical and generational trauma. We will be featuring Keith Braveheart, Kieran Goulet, and Courtney Leonard, along with Stina and Tomas from, where are they from? Well, somewhere in Sweden.
Yeah.
And they'll be here when we open on February 1st. So we also have an open call. So we're looking for artists to jury into this exhibition. So that'll be really exciting to see what we get and how people respond to that theme.
Yeah, we'll have to get you on a couple times and get the word out there. Can you tell people, because we have people all over Turtle Island listening to our show, where is All My Relations a gallery, and how can you get there, and what are the hours and things like that?
Yeah, All My Relations is located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's on Franklin Avenue on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Our hours at the gallery are Tuesday through Friday, 10 until 5, and Saturdays we're open from 12 until 3. We're the yellow building with the best coffee in the Twin Cities at the powwow grounds.
Right.
So grab yourself some coffee and come on in.
I think it's really important to bring that up because I run into people that I know from all over the country that it's a place where if you are coming in from Wisconsin, let's say, and you want to hang out with some Native Americans, that's a place to go. And a lot of people go there and check it out and run into people they know. And for me, it's always cool to see my Facebook come alive, all these people coming alive, and it's not a picture anymore. But that's the place to go, for your coffee, but also a great museum there. And are all my relations arts?
Yeah, it's a great community space, and it's really a place that the community can just feel themselves represented in the art that they experience. I wanted to share another event, Robert, that we've been talking about that's happening in January. Let's see. Maybe you could start off because I'm like fumbling on my notes.
I better get my...
Is this your Louisiana Love Film screening?
No.
Well, that is one thing that we're doing. I'm telling you, we've got a lot happening in January.
There is a lot.
We actually have Robert will be joining us in January for a discussion around the Ho-Chunk people and the Ho-Chunk history. There's an author who has a book release coming up. I will get her name. But
Kathy Coates.
Kathy Coates. Thank you so much. Yes, Kathy Coates will be releasing her book. And so we have Amy Lontree and Robert Pilot and Kathy, who will be joining us on January 17th to discuss the Ho-Chunk people and their history and, you know, contemporary presence. And I think that's going to be a really great event, too, to share about the Ho-Chunk people.
Yeah, definitely, Angela. And we're going to do the, I haven't told Haley yet because it's a heavy lift. We're going to be doing our show out there. And then after Haley segues away from producing the show, she'll be selling books with Kathy and signing up. But I'll have to slowly tell her that. Right, Haley?
Sounds good, Dega.
But yeah, published by the Minnesota Historical Society, and it's I've had a chance to read it, Angela, and this person is a researcher, so it's great to see that, you know, it's not an opinion book or a romance. It's the blood and guts of our removal and how that came about, roughly parallel with our Lakota relatives.
Right.
So that's exciting, and it's also really exciting that that you guys at All My Relations Arts do things like that. You know, I've been there for many, many different things over the years.
So yeah, for people who want to submit a piece for the new Call for Artists, the To Heal exhibit, how can they contact you or submit their piece?
Well, they can go on our website at All My Relations Arts. We have the open call is accepting submissions until January 7th. So people have the holiday break to be able to work on some works to apply to that show. And then we're going to jump right into juring, and then we will be selecting the artist that will be included in the exhibition on January 9th. So show opens February 1st.
Definitely. Angela, we got to get you on the show more often. This was a really good segment, darn it. We're gonna have Haley stock you down and send you the link and get you on the show more often.
All right, son.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, we're gonna have a good time. Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.